Tonight on the Sword of the Spirit podcast, a lot of people seem to think we're in the midst of the tribulation period because of this coronavirus outbreak, but we're actually not. I'm going to go through what the Bible says about the tribulation so you can see the difference. The show starts in just about a minute. March 16th, 2020, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Sword of the Spirit Podcast, Episode 31. Thank you so much for listening to the show. This is Benjamin Naim, known as Ben the Baptist on YouTube, here with you all again for the program. There's a lot of hysteria going on right now. People are panicking, and there are two extremes regarding this coronavirus pandemic. You have one side that says it's no big deal. The media is totally overhyping it, and it's completely synthetic. And you have another side that's gone insane, and they're hoarding toilet paper. They're hoarding other items from the supermarket. They are living a life of fear. Well, of course, the Bible says that God has given us that God has not given us the spirit of fear, and so that has no basis. That has no place in a Christian's life, to be fearful, to be fearing your life right now and to be panicking right now and hoarding toilet paper and things of that nature. If you're a Bible-believing Christian, how about you just trust in the Lord? In Job 13, verse 15, it says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him." Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I think that was worth repeating because it's just so powerful. Think of how powerful this scripture is. Even if God decides to slay you, are you going to trust in him? Are you going to trust that his plan for your life is the only one that makes sense for you? It's tough. Not everyone has that kind of faith. Job did. That's why there's a whole book about him. But regardless, you see these two extremes. Again, one side says, no big deal, it's a hoax. Another side is freaking out. I'm in the middle. I think you should take common sense measures to protect yourself and your family from this, especially if you have pre-existing health conditions, especially if you are older. This does tend to affect those groups of people worse than others. That subset of the population can be affected by the coronavirus in a more severe way than everyone else. So I think it's prudent if you find yourself in those two categories to just make some common, make sure that you're engaging in common sense measures so you can protect yourself. On the other side of the fence, though, I don't believe we should be freaking out about this, like I said. I also don't necessarily buy into the idea that the whole thing is fake, although I've seen that theory floated around. I've looked into it over the last several days, and I can see why people might think that, but there have been some confirmed cases. Just having talked to people, they told me they know folks who've gotten this. So it's a legitimate virus going around, slightly more dangerous than the flu. But if you don't have pre-existing health conditions, if you are not in an older age bracket, you should get through it just fine. Regardless, you don't want to go too far on either extreme. The media is hyping this up big time. I still believe that. There's no question. You turn on the media and it's like the world is ending. But that's because those who don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't have that same hope that a Christian has. And so they're going to be afraid. They're going to be fearful. And they're going to be uncertain about the future. But if you're saved, you are certain about your future. If you're saved, you have the Holy Ghost inside you. If you're saved, you know exactly where you go after this life. You're going straight to heaven. You don't have to worry about a coronavirus. You don't have to worry about the New World Order, globalism, the elites, forced vaccinations, FEMA camps, whatever conspiracies making the rounds on the internet, if you're saved, if you have the Holy Spirit inside you, if you have eternal life, none of that should matter because you have the hope that the lost could only wish for, which is a certainty about what happens after this life. Paradise. You get to commune with God forever. All the pain and suffering, the backstabbing that you might go through in this life, God reigns on the just and the unjust. The distress that you go through in this life, it'll all be over in heaven. You won't have to worry about it anymore. I want to take a look at the chat room. Pillar and Ground, he says, I agree with Ben completely. It's draft to obstinately pretend as if you are completely certain it's a hoax altogether. I agree with that. I've seen that theory floated around. I'm not saying you're bad if you don't believe it or you're questioning the coronavirus. That's not my position, though. I've looked into it. Guzman1611, he says, can you go over the article by Ron Paul on the coronavirus? I'm not exactly sure what you're talking about there, Guzman. I didn't see the article, but I can try and search for it if there's time on the broadcast and maybe skim through it here and give you my feedback on what's going on. Hello to everyone else in there. We've got Joshua Talton, Bro J Stu, KJV, the news unit is in the chat room. Mark Conway as well is tuning in live. And I see also Grammy7 in the chat. So thank you all very much for tuning in live to the broadcast. Before I get into the main topic of the evening, which is the tribulation, certain people believe, and by certain people I mean unlearned or babes in Christ, who are looking at this news and they think we're in the tribulation right now. Certain people believe we're in the tribulation right now because of the coronavirus. Let me just tell you something right now. The coronavirus is a cakewalk. It is a walk in the park. It is a late summer stroll in your at a local amusement park. I don't even know what analogy I can use. It's nothing compared to the tribulation. This is nothing. This is a vacation at a Hawaii resort compared to the tribulation period. I'm going to show you the tribulation period according to the Bible in this live stream tonight. So you don't get confused. If you're a babe in Christ, somebody that's maybe newer to Bible prophecy, don't get confused. We're not in the tribulation right now. We're not in it. You'll see what the tribulation actually is momentarily. First of all, I think it's important to go over this because I talked last week with my guest about the end game of everything that's going on. And by the way, some of you might be thinking, you've been talking about this coronavirus a lot on the program. Well, you know what? It's news. And that's part of the show is I do cover news from time to time, not every single week, but check this out. Denmark rushes through emergency coronavirus law, and it talks about quarantines and things of that nature, which obviously from a Christian perspective, I can see why you would be okay with a quarantine. But here's the problem. I'll read the lead, then I'll skip down to the main portion I wanted to focus on. Denmark's Parliament on Thursday night unanimously passed an emergency coronavirus law, which gives health authorities powers to force testing, treatment, and quarantine with the backing of the police. So they can force testing on you, but that's not nearly as big a problem as this. The Ministry of Health will now work with the Ministry of Justice on the details of how the police will work with health officials to enforce their demands. This is in Denmark. Again, in Denmark, don't be confused, not in the United States. But look what it says next. As well as enforcing quarantine measures, the law also allows the authorities to force people to be vaccinated. I'm going to repeat that again, to force people to be vaccinated. And I want to make this very clear. You don't want to go too far on either extreme. Yes, the virus exists, but also at the same time, yes, the media is exploiting this to push the vaccines, and we're already seeing it. In Denmark, the law will allow the authorities to force people to be vaccinated, even though there is currently no vaccination for the virus, is what this says. Who knows exactly what vaccine they'll end up giving people? Perhaps they'll say, well, here, take the flu vaccine, even though it's not specifically designed for the coronavirus. because we think this might help alleviate your symptoms. You have to take it. It's law. And if you don't, you will go to prison. And draconian measures like that can be enacted when you institute martial law, when you put the country in a full-on lockdown. San Francisco is in a lockdown. New Jersey has a curfew right now, where if you get out past 8 p.m., then you'll get in trouble. We're seeing this in pockets of mainland America, where you have lockdown, you have curfews. There's some good things about this. Bars are shutting down. The public school system is shut down right now, so students aren't going to classes and don't have to sit there and listen to some leftist professor brainwash them about evolution and Darwinism and socialism and Marxism. So that's good. There's a silver lining in all this. But at the same time, you can see the agenda is clear and it's already happening. In Denmark, forced vaccinations. Will that come to the United States? I don't know. We'll see. It wouldn't surprise me if it did, but I will not cooperate with that. I will not cooperate. You can put a vaccine in my dead body. I'm not going to put aborted baby parts in my body because government says so. The Bible says it's better to obey God rather than man. I'll be dead, shot in the head by the cops before they put that poison in my body. And look, I've always been against vaccines, but lately I've done a lot more research on them, and it's even worse than I thought. And we're not in the tribulation, but it seems like we are based on how people are reacting. Take a look at this. On Twitter, this video by ABC7 Eyewitness News, it was posted. A truly incredible scene outside the hashtag Azusa Costco as shoppers lined up for blocks before the store opened. Public leaders are imploring people to stop hoarding. Will people listen? Eyewitness News, hashtag coronavirus coverage tonight at 11. Take a look at this video. If you guys can see it, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see this right now.
All right, this is crazy. This is the beginning.
You see the people lining up. It looks like we're in an apocalypse. People lining up. If you're listening on the podcast, I'll describe it for you. People lining up on the sidewalk with carts, trying to get into the grocery store. And it looks like this line goes back miles. You just see hordes of people with shopping carts, waiting in line, hoping to get food, hoping to get water, hoping to get other essential items to help get through this global pandemic. And none of them have anything in the carts. They're waiting to actually get to the food and the water and the essentials. The toilet paper, which for whatever reason people are going crazy for right now. So that's what's happening. And think about it. This is mild compared to the tribulation. This is mild compared to the wars and rumors and wars that Jesus talked about in the Olivet Discourse. This is mild compared to some of the things that you see in Seals 1 through 5. Extremely mild. Like I said earlier, it's a walk in the park on a nice summer day. So that's what's happening. People are freaking out. There's the live chat. Hello, everybody in the live chat. People are freaking out, and unfortunately, it's because they've bought into the fear being peddled by the media. I want to repeat one more time. Just because I'm saying that the media is peddling fear doesn't mean I don't believe you should take common sense actions to protect yourself and to protect your family. I'm not saying that. Go ahead and take common sense measures if you need to. If you find yourself as a part of the subset of the population that could potentially be impacted more severely than someone else by coronavirus, go ahead and take precautions. That's fine. That's smart. I'm not begrudging people for doing that. I'm not talking down to people at all here. But there are those on the fringe, on the other side, who are just going insane. And it's not a biblical response. But they don't have the Lord Jesus Christ. So of course they're afraid. Of course they're fearful. This is the latest from Donald Trump. Lockdown now, that's hyperbole. And this goes to the point I've been making about the media overhyping this. It's not a lockdown technically. Donald Trump announces 15 days to stop the spread. These are guidelines put out by some of his medical professionals about what you can do to try and stave this virus. And old must stay home. Gatherings over 10 people and in schools, offices, bars, and restaurants close to beat coronavirus. The two-page list is called 15 Days to Slow the Spread. After 15 days, the guidelines will be revisited. The guidelines advise avoid eating in restaurants. Well, that's too bad for me because I had Chili's yesterday and it was good. The triple dipper. It was boneless chicken wings, sliders, and these special kind of egg rolls. If you haven't ordered that yet from Chili's, I highly recommend it. This podcast evidently is brought to you in part by Chili's because it is delicious. That specifically on their menu, that triple dipper. Next time you go to Chili's, order it. Delicious. You won't regret it. I love it. I get it every time I go. But this says don't go to restaurants. I'm not sure about that because I like Chili's too much to skip out on that. Bars. I ain't going to go to a bar anytime soon. And thank God this virus came along to shut down the bars. That's what I'm thanking God for specifically, that the bars are being shut down right now. So people can't go and get wasted. So people can't go and get drunk like a bunch of fools, like a bunch of morons, vomiting all over themselves, drinking alcohol, going to the bar, if you're a man, going there trying to find a woman to fornicate with. It's disgusting and it's shameful. And there was a time in this country in which that kind of behavior was shamed. Now it's promoted. Along with no social gatherings over the number of 10. Well, that's not going to happen because of church. Calls on schools in affected areas to be closed. Trump predicted the virus could be a threat until the summer. I guess that's kind of big news there. He said that this could potentially last all the way into July or August. So that's what he says. I'm not sure if that's the case. We don't know what's going to happen. I'm taking it day by day here. I'm taking it day by day. Alma Hernandez says in the chat room, Nehemiah 9:37, verse 37 to 38. And we are in great, what does it say here? And we are in great distress. And because of all this, we make a sure covenant and write it. And our princes, Levites, and priests seal unto it. He says, could this be that the government one day will force us to vaccinate? Could God help us? Let it not be. Yeah, it is potentially going to lead that way. Denmark already is passing a law that says you're going to have to take the vaccine. They're going to force it on you. But look, whatever it is, I'm not afraid. Go ahead. Mandate vaccines. They'll have to put a bullet in my head to put the vaccine in my body. It's really that simple. I'm not going to let some wicked Babylon government, Babylon USA government, come knock on my door with their M4s and intimidate me to put a stick a needle in my body and vaccine. It's not going to happen. The vaccine will probably give you coronavirus. Grammy 7, Big Pharma makes millions on these vaccines. Yes, that's true. That's why they need you to be sick and decrepit and dependent. Pillar and Ground, we should pray that a lot of people get saved during the Sharona scare. Not sure if you meant to say Sharona or not, but absolutely. And here's the thing, people right now recognize their own mortality, and so they're probably more likely to get saved. That's the good news about all this. That's the part that I like. When you go out soul winning, when you go out and evangelize door to door and preach the gospel, people are more likely to want to hear it because they're thinking about what happens next, because they're thinking about their own mortality, and they're thinking about death. And as sad or morbid as that might sound, you need people to be thinking about that in order for them to then give you the time of day to listen to you explain what happens afterward, which is hell if you're not saved, and what they can do to be saved from that punishment, which is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I like that sports leagues are being shut down right now because it means less distractions out soul winning. Although, this past Sunday, when I was out soul winning, I knocked on a door and the guy answered and said he was, even with all the leagues shut down, he gave me that same answer, sorry, I can't hear it, I'm watching the game. Even though all the, I mean, the NFL, NFL didn't even start yet, but the NHL, the NBA, I don't know what else, baseball, I'm getting help from my producer here. What other league is there that I'm forgetting? NASCAR? All the major league, whatever you want, golf, if you're one of those people that watches golf, whatever it is, it's shut down, it's canceled right now or suspended. And so you're thinking, all right, less of a distraction. And I guess this guy I was talking to this past Sunday, I was trying to win him to Christ, didn't have time because I guess he was watching a replay or something. So when people aren't watching live sports, they're watching a replay of live sports and you still can't win him. It's like, come on. Unbelievable. So that's just how things are. But I think most people probably aren't doing that. So it's less likely you'll encounter that issue of, oh, I'm watching the game right now. Sorry. I'm watching the football game. I'm watching the hockey. I guess not many people watch hockey down here, but I'm watching the basketball game. I'm watching whatever. Because evidently that's more important than eternity. That's more important than knowing where you're going to go after you die. I couldn't imagine somebody saying, hey, salvation's free. I can show you if you have time. And refusing it because of something stupid like a video game or a sports game. I mean, just turn off the Xbox or at the very least, pause it for 10 minutes. 10 minutes, you give the soul winner at your door 10 minutes, and you'll reap the benefits forever. When you put it into that kind of perspective, it really makes it seem silly when these people reject the gospel for something stupid. I get it, they're a carnal mind, and we were once foolish, Titus chapter 3. I understand all that. And look, give me a break, okay? I'm not saying that I'm better than anyone else or you're trying to toot my own horn here, but it's just sad. I'm lamenting what's going on. I'm lamenting how carnally minded people are to the point that somebody walks up to them, showing them, wanting to show them how to go to heaven, and they reject it over something so silly. It's just mind-boggling. The point of the podcast tonight is people seem to believe we're in the tribulation right now. I guess they're buying into the hype. I don't know. But we're not. Let's talk about what the biblical tribulation actually is. And Alma just posted the Nehemiah 9 scripture again. It was a little bit hard for me to read the first time. But look, okay? We're not actually in the tribulation. The Bible describes what will happen during that time. Specifically, in Revelation chapter 6. So I'm going to get into it now. What is the tribulation period? What is the tribulation? People think we're in it right now, but we're not. What does the Bible say about this? Well, Revelation chapter 6 is where I'm going to be for most of the time. Probably the whole time. Revelation chapter 6. Because Revelation chapter 6 describes the first six seals. And it tells you what happens after each one is opened. Now, for you pre-tribbers out there, the tribulation period is different than the wrath of God. The tribulation period is different than the wrath of God. The pre-tribbers, those who believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, who say that Jesus Christ can come back at any moment, what they believe is that the entirety of Daniel's 70th week is the tribulation. Not true. God is not the one pouring out his wrath from seals 1 through 6. Revelation 12, till you say prove it. Well, Revelation chapter 12, verse 12, it says, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. The devil is the one who has great wrath, and it'll be the wrath of the devil poured out during the first half of Daniel's 70th week. Ron Todd in the chat room says, oh, God will not spank his bride. That's what they say, that he's not a wife beater or a bride beater or anything like that. Well, it's the devil beating the bride. It's not God in the first half of Daniel's 70th week. You have 3.5 years of tribulation, then you have 75 days of great tribulation, which I'm going to prove biblically tonight, because this is another thing where I'll say it and the comment section will literally just be filled with comment after comment from people asking me how I arrived at that 75-day number. Well, I'm going to show it tonight because it's not something I made up in my head. It's not something Pastor Anderson made up in his head. It's pretty clear that the Great Tribulation is 75 days exactly. And the Bible teaches that, in my opinion. I'll show you later on. Revelation chapter 6, let's look at what the tribulation actually is. A lot worse than what's going on right now. Revelation 6, verse 1, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." So what we see here is seal number one, the Antichrist, going forth conquering and to conquer. This is the Antichrist, in my opinion. This is just my opinion. The Antichrist rising to power right here. I believe that at this stage, he's rising to the top of the New World Order power structure. How is he going to do it? Well, I think that you're going to start seeing chaos start occurring before the first seal is opened. You're going to start seeing more pestilences like this. You're going to start seeing wars, conflict, rioting in the streets, etc. This planet is going to have to be in a state of catastrophe for the Antichrist to come in and to bring in the world government and to bring in the one world religion and for the people to believe that he is God in the flesh who has come here to be the Messiah and save the world from that aforementioned catastrophe. It's order out of chaos. That's what the Antichrist is going to have to establish. Order out of chaos. And in seal number one, we see his rise to power. Order out of chaos. Understand that. So important. The second seal, it says in Revelation chapter 6, verse 5, "And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, Come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, A measure of wheat for a penny." I'm sorry, I went too far ahead. Revelation chapter 6, verse 3. It says right here, Revelation chapter 6, verse 3, "And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, Come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword." When the second seal is opened, what you see are wars. Some people have predicted that this could be World War III. Perhaps by the time we get to Daniel's 70th week, it might end up being World War IV. Maybe it's World War V. We don't really know for sure. But Jesus Christ said this in the Olivet Discourse. He said, "There shall be wars and rumors of wars." He talked about that. He said, "But see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows," though. Just the beginning of sorrows. But Jesus warned about wars and rumors of wars when he described the tribulation in the Olivet Discourse in Matthew chapter 24 and Mark 13 and Luke 21. People have theorized about this. They think perhaps China and the United States are going to be the one that sparks the next world war. It seems to be looking that way. North Korea may be involved. They're kind of a wild card, having nuclear weapons in their arsenal and a crazy, insane dictator who puts his own people in prison camps and concentration camps and tortures them if they don't worship statues of the dear leader. There's all kinds of craziness going on. There's all kinds of combustible elements on this planet right now and different nuclear powers that could potentially clash. And so it wouldn't surprise me if it was China versus the United States. China is probably going to be blamed for the coronavirus in some way, may or may not be justified. We know Iran frequently is brought up and described when people talk about foreign policy and things that are going on in the Middle East today. Iran and Israel, there are tensions there. Iran at one point did threaten to wipe Israel off the map, and that made the neocons go crazy, thinking we had to intervene somehow and prevent them from getting a nuclear arsenal, which they have today. So a lot of different things that could go wrong. It all emanates mostly in Asia, the Middle East, Iran, China, Syria, Israel, so many different countries with competing foreign policy interests and geopolitical interests that could potentially lead to war. And I think when seal number two is opened, we're going to see a war the likes of which this planet has never seen before. It could be a nuclear war. It could be a war that maybe is fought using biological weapons. I mean, you look at what's going on with the coronavirus right now, and I think it exposes just how fragile Western civilization truly is. A virus slightly more dangerous than the flu could end up being responsible for the next global recession. This isn't Ebola. And if you've studied anything about Ebola, you know just how horrible it is. The symptoms of it are horrible. People bleed. They start bleeding internally because of Ebola. It's not cholera, which has horrific symptoms I'm not even going to get into. Some of these viral infections that people in Africa get, as bad as the coronavirus can be for certain portions of the population, it's not as bad as those diseases. Perhaps this world war could include biological warfare with pathogens that make people extremely sick, that make people so sick it makes the coronavirus look like nothing. It's possible. I'm not trying to scaremonger here. I'm just theorizing what these wars could look like. Now let's go to Revelation 6, verse 5, which I read by mistake earlier. And when he'd opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." Well, this is talking about a famine. Seal number 3 is a famine. And what you see in verse number 6, when it talks about a measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny, that right there is a little something called hyperinflation. And with the advent of the Federal Reserve and the fiat currency system we have now, which basically fabricates money out of thin air based on nothing, there is no standard, there is no inherent value behind the currency being used today, which is printed by the Federal Reserve. It's essentially counterfeit money. You can see how we could one day get to a point in our system where hyperinflation only contributes and exacerbates a famine like the one that's described in seal number 3 when that seal is opened. You think about a famine and you think of all the lines I showed you a few moments ago where you had people who were waiting on the sidewalk with shopping carts, empty shopping carts, hoping they can get into the grocery store. Look at what's going on right now with the coronavirus and that Twitter video. Like I said, people on the sidewalk waiting to get food, waiting to get water. And we haven't even had wars yet. We haven't even had the World War III or IV happen yet. We haven't even had the famine hit us yet. And this famine, I mean, folks, it's not called the tribulation for nothing. It's going to be bad. There are going to be people dying in the streets. It could be reminiscent of what happened in North Korea. That famous famine in North Korea where there was literally no food. Grains of rice. It could be even worse than that. Who knows? But my point is, if right now people with full stomachs are freaking out over the coronavirus and lining up miles down the road on a sidewalk to get some food and hoarding toilet paper, what are they going to do when the tribulation hits? They are going to lose their minds. You're going to see psychological torment. It's a global famine. It's an inability for people to afford essential items like bread, milk, water even. I'm hoping there's going to be a new IFB black market by then, which will help some of us. You say, well, this sounds bad. Yeah, it sounds bad. But you know what? Job chapter 13, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. God has never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Bible says that Christians during this time are going to be doing great exploits. Yeah, it sounds bad. It sounds tough. And in the flesh, you probably are going to be afraid. Heck, in the flesh, I sometimes get afraid right now based on what's going on in the world. Absolutely, I do get afraid sometimes. Yeah, sure. In the flesh, you have that fear. And in the flesh, you're going to have that same fear during the tribulation times 100. Of course. That's why it's going to be so important to put away the distractions, to get in your Bible, to make sure that you're filled with the Spirit so you can walk in the Spirit and exhibit the fruit of the Spirit and actually do the great exploits that the Bible says you ought to be doing during this time. And not just cower in fear, not just hoard food and water and go hide in a rainforest somewhere to try and evade the government and the mark of the beast. That's not going to work. God will make sure you get caught. God will make sure the UN peacekeepers find you in that forest if you're not out there doing work for him. He'll make sure that he removes that hedge of protection, in my opinion, if you're being a coward during the tribulation. But if you're doing work for the Lord, if you're being bold, if you're preaching the gospel, if you're preaching against sin, if you're getting people saved, recognizing that a redemption draweth nigh, I think the Lord will protect you. That's my guess. That's my guess. Revelation 6, verse 7. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. Now think about this. What have I talked about so far? I've talked about the Antichrist rising to the top of that globalist power structure. I've talked about famines. I've talked about wars. And now the culmination of those things is what? Death. And it's not just any kind of death. It's people dying as a result of the sword. People are going to be killing each other. Venezuela is a microcosm of this. The socialist policies failed in Venezuela. And you have people on the streets murdering each other over a piece of bread. That's how desperate they are. Bloodshed in the streets. People are going to be killing each other with the sword. People are going to die courtesy of hunger. The famine will lead to starvation. People will die because of the beasts of the earth, it says. I'm not even sure how that's going to work. The lions are going to be more dangerous at that during that time period than they are now, evidently. But this is a culmination of the famine, of the wars. It says death over the fourth part of the earth. A fourth part of the earth dies through sword, hunger, beasts of the earth, etc. I think we're going to see pestilences here as well. We're going to see viral diseases, parasites perhaps, maybe an Ebola outbreak. I don't know. But obviously multitudes are going to die. Revelation 6, verse 9, and when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And while robes were, and white robes, I should say, were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So the fifth seal is persecution. The fifth seal is great tribulation, Christian persecution. It reaches its fever pitch right here. It reaches its climax after the fifth seal is open. And again, what's the point of me even talking about this right now? Because people think we're in the tribulation. And sometimes they'll throw this out there whenever something bad happens. They say, oh, this must be the third seal, or this must be the second seal, or the fourth seal. Well, we haven't seen anything yet that comes even close to the first, second, third, or fourth seal being opened. Not anywhere near close to that. There is no corporate established world government right now, although you see elements of that and the building blocks for that potentially coming in the future, but you don't see it happening right now. It's not out in the open right now. We have shadow governments, I understand that, New World Order, etc., but it's not out in the open right this second. You don't see a fourth part of the earth dying right now. I mean, this should be pretty clear based on what the scriptures say. It's not happening right now. It's not occurring right now. There is no temple in Jerusalem that's been rebuilt by the Jews. No abomination of desolation. We're not in the tribulation. What the tribulation actually looks like is what's being described in Revelation chapter 6. Christian persecution, laws against door-to-door evangelism, I think we'll start seeing during this, during this time period. The Bible says the Antichrist will think to change times and laws. Good luck evangelizing. Good luck trying to preach the gospel. It's going to be tough. And it's going to take people who are filled with the Spirit of God and courage and boldness to go out even when it's not legal to do so, knowing that it's better to obey God rather than men. I can't help but think of deported when I think about soul winning in an area where it's illegal. And I think of what happened to Faithful Word Baptist Church, which tried to establish a church in Botswana. I almost forgot the name of the country. In Botswana, which now you can see what the government meant for evil, God meant for good. What the U.S. government, and you have to be blind not to believe that the U.S. government wasn't behind the persecution of Faithful Word Baptist Church in Botswana, but what they meant for evil, God meant for good. Because the people saw the controversy going on there, and I bet you great multitudes ended up looking up Pastor Anderson and looking up Faithful Word Baptist Church and finding his message and getting saved and getting plugged in. I'm sure that happened. But that persecution they went to, I think, a small picture of what will happen on a planetary scale to Christians being chased around by the authorities and being threatened with jail time, being threatened with all sorts of different things, beaten in the streets, etc. The Bible says in Psalm 37:32, "The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him." The wicked hate the righteous. There's nothing new under the sun. They're going to hate the righteous during the end times. They hate the righteous right now. They hated the righteous in the past. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Acts chapter 12, it says in verse 1, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword." He killed James, the brother of John. He was killed. His life taken from him. That's it. Done. Killed. Right then and there. By who? Herod. Government. The government killing a Bible-believing Christian. It happened back then as well. Acts 12, verse 3, "And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people." By the way, flat earthers, there you can see Easter in the Bible. It's not satanic or anything like that. Verse number 5, "Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." He's released courtesy of an angel eventually. But you see Peter thrown in prison. You see James just outright murdered by King Herod. And that's what's going to happen to people who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Something called the mark of the beast. It's described in Revelation chapter 13. It talks about, in Revelation chapter 13, I'll just go ahead and read it, in verse number 7, "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him for all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life, slain from the foundation of the world." Talking about how everyone's going to be worshiping the Antichrist. And it keeps going here. It says, "If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed." This is the false prophet who's going to come out, and he's going to try. He's like the John the Baptist of the Antichrist. And he's going to direct people to the beast. He's going to direct people to the Antichrist. Verse 15, I want to skip down to verse 15 for sake of time. "And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast," which is the abomination of desolation, "that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." Here we go, verse 16. "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads." This mark, people have theorized, is an RFID chip, and the Antichrist will cause all to receive that mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Verse 17, "And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. It's an RFID chip that people will be forced into taking, or they get decapitated, and this RFID chip will enable people to buy or sell. How in the world could this concept, and maybe it's not an RFID, that's just my theory that it's an RFID chip, maybe it's something else, but this theory of taking something that enables you to buy or sell, how in the world could they have even conceptualized something like this? Could John the Revelator have even conceptualized something like this back when Revelation was written? This is just further proof of the providence right here of the fact that this is the word of God. But the devil is the great counterfeiter. He's not the one who came up with the mark. Hit the mark, you know, of the devil's name. 666, being in the forehead. That's a concept that originated actually God with God. God is the one who we see it. I think it's in Ezekiel chapter 9, where you have a mark being placed on the foreheads of those who are going to be protected from God's wrath. And you see it in Revelation as well. I believe in Revelation chapter 20, where it talks about believers being sealed on their foreheads with their Father's name. So here's my point. By the time that fifth seal is opened, I think that the mark of the beast system is in place. It's in place at this stage. You can't buy or sell without taking the mark. You have the dissolution of cash. It's a total cashless society at this stage of the game. In Daniel chapter 12, the Bible says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be written in the book, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." That's the tribulation. It's a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. We're not in that time right now. Although it might seem like that, although it might seem that way based on the way people are reacting to the coronavirus, based on the way people are freaking out over the coronavirus, we're not in the midst of the worst tribulation this entire planet has ever seen before. I mean, Jesus Christ, again, I got to point back to what he said in the Olivet Discourse when he talked about the tribulation. And he said, let me just go to Matthew 24 and read it to you. He echoed exactly what it says there in Daniel chapter 12. In verse 21, he says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." And if it weren't for the great tribulation being cut short by the rapture, no flesh would be saved, he says in the very next verse. But Daniel 12 talks about a time period worse than it's ever been. Jesus Christ talks about a time period that's worse than it's ever been. Believers being persecuted. "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake," Jesus says. And although it seems bad, although it seems like there's no hope, we do have hope. Because at the end of the day, I'll read the scripture to you, "And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." So I don't care whether it's right now in 2020, as people are dealing with this pandemic, and you have the news media with the hysteria constantly, and you have the quarantines, and you have the potential for forced vaccinations, and you have people sick, and you have people freaking out over getting sick, and you have the death toll rising, and you have the number of cases rising, and you have the chaos in the streets. You might even have martial law. None of it matters. If you're a Bible-believing Christian, fear not them which can destroy the body, but rather fear him which can destroy both soul and body in hell. And I'm paraphrasing that, I understand, but you get the picture. Fear God, not man. All that other stuff might afflict your flesh, but nobody can ever destroy your spirit, your soul, because if you are saved. Like I said, you have that hope. But there's going to be 75 days of great tribulation. Now, every time I say this, people get skeptical with me, and they start asking, why do you believe that? Where do you get that number from? Well, in Daniel chapter 12, verse 12, The Bible reads there, "Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days, but go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days." This is why the great tribulation is 75 days. Now, in case you don't know what I'm talking about, here's Daniel's 70th week. You have the first 3.5 years, which is tribulation. 3.5 years would equate to 1,260 days of tribulation. And then what happens at the midpoint, you have the abomination of desolation. At the midpoint, the abomination of desolation, I did a video about this on my channel. What are you doing? I have I have my producer here who gave me a chart. Okay, here we go. Thank you, producer. It's my wife. So this is Pastor Anderson's chart. I agree with every single thing on this chart. Everything on this is 100% biblical. It is fantastic. Okay. So at the midpoint, you have the abomination of desolation, which is the abomination of desolation is a statue type figure. It's an image that's going to be set up in the temple in Jerusalem. And the Antichrist, he's going to sit in the temple of God once that image is set up, and he's going to declare himself to be God. And he's going to force people to worship that image in order to receive the mark of the beast, which I talked about just a few minutes ago. This person says, "Tribulation Ready Christian Ministry." He says, Psalm 118, verse 6. Absolutely, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Totally agree with that. Totally agree with that. But anyway, so in the midpoint, you have the abomination of desolation. Then you have 75 days of great tribulation. So you have 3.5 years of regular tribulation, and then you have 75 days of great tribulation. Where's that number come from? Well, I read to you in Daniel 12:12, "Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. This is 1,335 days. Okay, and this is actually plotted on the chart right here. So 1,300, it's kind of hard because it goes opposite when I'm on the camera. So this is the beginning of tribulation. Okay, blessed is he that makes it to the 1,335th day. Why? Because the 1,335 days, it starts here, and the 1,335th day is the rapture. Okay? So this is where you get the 75 days from. Daniel chapter 7, verse 24, it says, "And the 10 horns out of the kingdom, out of this kingdom, are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and shall subdue 3 kings, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws." Listen to this. "And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time." A time and times and the dividing of time is 42 months. It is 3.5 years. It is 1,260 days. So that would be this section, the regular tribulation, if you want to call it that. 1,260 days. So all you need to do is subtract 1,335 by 1,260, and you will get 75. That's how you can calculate just how long the Great Tribulation is going to last. The Great Tribulation is an amplified version of the tribulation. You can think of it that way. An abomination of desolation is set up by the time the Great Tribulation commences. The Mark of the Beast system is set up by the time the Great Tribulation commences. Multitudes of Christians will die. The Antichrist will make war with the saints, the Bible says. But what is it all leading to? Revelation 6:12. "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? You know what that is right there? That's something called the rapture. So even though we go through all of that, the death, the famine, the wars, the pestilence, the persecution, the great tribulation, 75 days of the great tribulation, you know what that's all leading to? Our redemption drawing nigh. This corruptible flesh putting on incorruption. Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 24, and I love this stupid dispensational argument that says Mark 13, Luke 21, and Matthew 24 is not talking about the rapture. Because these same people will claim Revelation is chronological. Some of them don't, but a lot of them claim Revelation is chronological. Well, Revelation chapter 6 describes the sun and moon being darkened. Matthew 24 does as well. In verse 29, it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened. That's exactly what Revelation 6 says. Revelation 6, it says, and I beheld when he had opened, I'm going to read it again, the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. That's Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. Matthew 24, immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened. Same event. Revelation 6, Matthew 24, you dipsticks out there, it's the same event. Same event. I understand it's not a salvation issue here. If you're pre-trib and you're saved, I love you as a brother or a sister in Christ. Don't take this seemingly aggressive tone the wrong way. Okay, you could be saved and believe in false doctrine in the end times. It's a secondary issue. But my point is, it's clearly the same event. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, which we see the mourning in Revelation 6. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Jesus coming with clouds, Jesus sending his angels to gather together the elect, sun and moon being darkened, all the attributes of the rapture we see there in Matthew chapter 24. My question to you dispensationalists out there is, how is it that Matthew 24 is describing the Battle of Armageddon? Because that's what they say. How is it that Matthew 24 is describing the Battle of Armageddon if we see the very same attributes of the rapture described in Matthew 24 that also appear in Revelation 6, which is nowhere near the Battle of Armageddon? Doesn't make any sense. Seal number 7, it's described in Revelation chapter 8. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hands. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. The seventh seal would be God's wrath at this point being poured out on the world for the second half of Daniel's 70th week. For the next 3.5 years, you're going to see God's wrath now, the seven trumpet and vile judgments poured out on this world, all of God's pent-up frustration and anger at this world turning against him, released. And those judgments, that's a whole different topic for a different time. I'm not going to get into it. But God ends up pouring out his wrath at that point. And you say, well, I still think the whole 7 years is the tribulation. Well, that doesn't make sense because in Revelation chapter 6, it literally says in verse number 17, I'll just read it real quickly for you. In Revelation 6:17, it says, for the great day of his wrath is come, present tense. So that would assume that everything that preceded that particular event, the rapture, was not the wrath of God. So anyway, we are not in the tribulation right now. The biblical tribulation period, Daniel's 70th week, is a lot worse than what's going on today. And I'm not trying to downplay necessarily a global pandemic. I understand it's serious for certain people. We got to go right down the middle. You don't want to be totally dismissive. You don't want to be totally freaking out. Right in the middle on this, that's where I find myself standing. But the great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? Folks, the tribulation culminates with the rapture and the beginning of God pouring out his wrath on this earth. We're nowhere near that. There is no temple in Jerusalem right now where the Jews are engaging in animal sacrifices, waiting for their Messiah figure to arrive on the scene, who they're going to exalt. There is no global famine going on right now. There is no hyperinflation going on right now. There is no war going on right now. Somebody asked me in the chat room, are Gog and Magog and Armageddon the same event? No. Armageddon occurs at the end of Daniel's 70th week. Gog and Magog, that occurs after the millennium, after the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on this earth, after the millennium. The devil is loosed for a season. He gathers up some people to try and overthrow the government of Jesus Christ. And when he approaches when he approaches Jerusalem to try and overthrow Christ, that is the Battle of Gog and Magog. It occurs at the end of the millennium. The Battle of Armageddon is different. That's Revelation chapter 19. That's the end of the 7 years, Daniel's 70th week. At the end of the Battle of Armageddon, you have Jesus Christ setting up his kingdom on this earth. So, good question. I appreciate the chat room for chiming in there. We have a scripture being shared, 2 John 1:7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Absolutely right. There are deceivers today who don't profess Jesus Christ as being God, as being the Savior. They reject the Trinity and all sorts of different damnable heresies. Well, it's going to be even more of them as we reach this time. So what was the purpose of this podcast? Well, the purpose of this podcast was simply to draw a distinction between what's happening today and what the Bible says about the tribulation. Excuse me, because the Bible says something different about the tribulation. It says it's going to be much worse. It makes what's going on today look like nothing. You're going to see wars. You're going to see famine. You're going to see death. You're going to see all sorts of different things. The Mark of the Beast instituted. Persecution reaching a fever pitch. Why would I do a podcast like this? Not just because I want to help clear up the confusion on what the tribulation actually is, but also so the babes out there, so people who aren't necessarily as well-versed on this subject, aren't deceived by people who are trying to scam them. Because I love babes in Christ. I don't want them to be scammed or taken advantage of by prophecy hacks who put YouTube, clickbait YouTube videos together asking for donations so they can scam people of their money and make them think the rapture is happening tomorrow, that we're in the midst of the tribulation right now, or whatever crazy idea. We're not in the tribulation right now. And if you think we are, again, end times is a secondary deal. I respectfully disagree with you, okay? We're not. It's going to be much, much worse. There is no corporate global world government right now yet that has been set up. There is no antichrist right now that's been set up. A fourth part of the earth hasn't died right now at this stage of the game. So that's all I really wanted to cover for tonight's broadcast. I want to thank everyone in the chat room for tuning in. Matt Powell, official in there. Thank you, sir. He says, God bless, Brother Ben. Keep up the good work. And keep up the good work yourself, Brother Matt. For those of you who haven't subscribed to his channel, Matt Powell Official is the place to go to do that. But I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up for this week's program. This was episode 31 of the Sword of the Spirit podcast. It was a pleasure to host this show with you all this week. I'll be back again next Monday night, same time, same place, youtube.com/BenTheBaptist. And also, the time, don't forget it, 8 p.m. Eastern. 8 p.m. Eastern. And I do want to remind you all that if you are looking for the archive of this show, I highly recommend checking it out on my website, BenTheBaptistKJV.com. You can get the podcast archive, the full podcast archive right there. I have some blog posts as well on the bottom. I haven't updated that in a while. I'll have to get on that, get caught up a little bit. But if you check out the website, you'll see the podcast archive. It doesn't just include the video feed of the show, but you also get an audio-only feed and the ability to download the show to your device. So you can repost it anywhere you want, do whatever you want with it. But it's available on BenTheBaptistKJV.org. Make sure you check that out today. But until next time, folks, that's it for the program. I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up now. God bless you all, and please don't have any misconceptions about what I'm trying to say by hosting a show like this. Here's the overarching theme of tonight's broadcast. Don't be fearful of what's happening right now. Don't be fearful of what's to come. Jesus Christ said, "Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." From a spiritual sense, you will never die. You have eternal security. If you're saved, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that should make you fearful. There's nothing that should make you afraid. There's nothing that should make you waver in your faith that God is capable of delivering you from all sorts of different types of affliction. So let's not be like the world. Let's not freak out like the world. Let's not go running around like chickens with our heads cut off, trying to hoard as much toilet paper as possible. Let's recognize we're not in the tribulation yet. You can think of this perhaps as a warm-up if you'd like. But let's remember that we have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who saved us, who gave us eternal life. Let's remember the hope that we have the unsaved doesn't have, which is a hope for something a heck of a lot better than this life waiting for us in heaven. Let's store up riches in heaven. Let's store up treasures in heaven. And let's not be too carnally minded and follow the world, the multitudes out there who are freaking out. That's the message, the optimistic message I want to leave you with this evening. So put a smile on your face. We're going to be all right. We can survive anything because God's on our side. And you know what? If God be for us, who can be against us? God bless you all. Thanks for listening. And I'll catch you guys again next Monday.